Call Cooley on 850-6597.
On Dublin's Q102.
And as usual on Monday, Dermot Jewell is here. In fact, he's back. Have you bought an item and felt ripped off or cheated? Maybe you've experienced really bad customer service. Or maybe you sent off a letter of complaint and didn't hear back. Get in touch because we'd love to hear from you. And Dermot, as I said, is back. Batteries recharged, full of energy and raring to go.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Good evening, Aidan.
You a good trip?
Yeah, it was great.
Excellent stuff. All right. Well, I tell you what, we thought we'd get you straight back to the situation normal. Here's a mobile phone problem.
Go away. Really? They still have it?
All right. This is from Colin, who said he upgraded his phone recently and soon after he purchased the phone or did the deal, he noticed a hair-like substance inside the screen. As the phone was working fine, Colin says he ignored the problem and the performance deteriorated. He called the network and was told to return it. The shop told him it was cracked and they would not replace it. He says he was reading up under the Sale of Goods Act and he believes he should have been given a replacement. Can you confirm this or can you say it's not the case?
Well, it's an interesting one. For the screen to have cracked, it is likely that it needs, to all intents and purposes, to have had a fall or to have been hit. And you would see that. And for a hairline crack now, as I say, to happen, it means that some other part of the phone you would notice from it.
Yeah.
So if they're being that really, really, really awkward, and I'm assuming that what's happening here is that Colin has gone in and they're just looking at this and saying, well, it's got a hairline crack.
We didn't do it, so you must have done it.
That's being pretty, pretty awkward about it. So he's going to have to take sort of two very clear approaches to this, which is one, make it as specific as he can that, look, I noticed this when I got it. I trusted that it was not a hairline crack.
New phone.
And because it was brand new, but it was cracked. And if you're going to tell me now and clearly argue with me that it's my fault, then we're going to literally have to go through one of two clear ideas. One, I need an engineer's report in this determining what happened.
Is that their engineer or your engineer? If you go and commission your own,
you're going to have to pay for it.
Well, okay.
That's the difficulty.
Yeah.
But he could initially try with theirs. And I suppose, I'll be blunt, if it comes back with the wrong answer, then go to a third party and say, have you had this happen before? What's the scenario? What has caused it? And last element of it would be, make the very, very clear point that unless it's replaced, regardless of what they suggest, you're going to go to the small claims court.
Okay, and I'm just wondering there, but if you do go and commission an engineer's report, an independent report, and say, just say for argument's sake, it cost you 100 quid or 250 quid, can you go after them for
you
that
can.
Then? You can, yeah.
Absolutely, yes. Because it's you're out of pocket to try to prove that you didn't do any wrong, which is, as I say, a pretty nasty position to be put into.
All right. You'd love to get one of the lads from one of the shops in just to have a chat and explain why they're told to take that approach. Is it that everybody's treated sort of as suspicious? Or, is it going to cost tens of thousands a year to the company if they're going to replace the phones willy-nilly?
It's like the motor companies tell you, look, if you've had an accident, do not admit liability. We'll sort that out, leave that to us. And it seems to be the approach that's taken here.
Well, it kind of leads in nicely to another link here about somebody wanting to buy a laptop or maybe a tablet. Do all gadgets come with a 12-month warranty or is it worth taking out an insurance, an extended warranty? And is that something maybe you would advise with phones or do they cost a fortune? Somebody told me they were paying something like, I remember paying 6 quid a month. I thought that was okay. Somebody else said they were paying 30 quid a month.
Yeah, you see,
ridiculous.
This is it. Can be huge money. It can be very, very expensive. I'm not immediately saying that all of those warranties and all covers are a waste of money. Some are not. But you really do need to evaluate, well, how much is the unit I have in my hand and exactly what am I paying here for this coverage? And most importantly, is there an excess even if I did make a claim? In other words, do I have to pay the first 100 or 150 euro or something? And then lastly, keep in mind that as a consumer, you do have rights and entitlements. So A, you have the basic, very standard basic manufacturer's guarantee or warranty of 12 months. That's so why not wait till 11 months and then say, I'll take out an extended warranty now.
Okay, you know. Just bearing in mind on the back of the payment protection insurance industry, warranty, how much of it do you really need to read? How much of it do you need to understand? Because sometimes these things can run to a like War and Peace almost.
I couldn't agree more. And I think history has unfortunately shown that really, well, particularly when it came to payment protection insurances, you really did need to read all of it and stop for a minute and understand it, because that's the difficulty. You may try to read it and you still won't get what they're getting at.
Shouldn't there be something in place? I know, you know, ignorance of the law is no defence, or ignorance of what you're signing is no defence, but shouldn't there be something put into place to stop sharp practice? Because if the guy in the store is trained to sell you this policy and he's hitting all the right targets, you know, he's evaluating you as you're in front of him,
yes.
And he's sort of saying, oh, this goes into it and that goes into it, and just sign here. But once you've signed, that's it.
It's argued that you're stuck with a contract.
So this is sharp practice. This should be illegal.
Well, it is to a degree, because that's why so much work has been done at the EU level, where there's an unfair terms in contracts directive, etc., and a variety of other initiatives that have been taken in so many ways to try to protect the consumer. The difficulty is that there are variations on the theme that have been constantly reintroduced, which is why, for example, many people with different insurances. I mean, I remember one particular individual. This is a simple case, is the best way I'll put it.
Yep.
Who basically bought a mobile phone and was sold insurance. And the insurance basically said that if it was lost or stolen, it wasn't covered.
This is beautiful.
Why did you sell the poor guy insurance? And this was a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
And it was worse, you know. So who was not used to thinking about contracts and who trusted people?
Of course,
hang on a minute, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And it's escalated from there. And, you know, it basically is an unpleasant world out there. And the bigger the deal, you really do need to take advice if necessary before you sign.
You need to bring a solicitor with you to look at some of these things. That sort of way.
Health insurance in some areas, really need to say to somebody, just tell me something. What is not covered?
Yeah.
And then that kind of helps.
But again, should the onus not be put? I mean, it's big business, it's big industry. Should they not just put it in simple, concise English instead of, well, then we know what they're after. They're covering their asses and they're trying to sell you a policy that A, you might not need, B, you certainly don't want most of the time, and they want to maximise their revenue, and there's a commission built in, obviously, for who's ever flogging it to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this pre-existing conditions term is a terrible significant one, because a lot of people, even when they're reminded, they go, I've forgotten about that. That was nothing at the time.
Yeah.
When I was told it was nothing and I needn't worry. So I forgot about it. And now you're telling me, because I stopped worrying, I should have told you, and now I can't claim. This is, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? A friend of mine was telling me they're recently coming back from a holiday. They went out and they booked the hired car, got into the collect the hired car, and was asked about insurance. And he said, I'll take the basic. And the basic was third party fire and theft. And they said, no, you really need the full policy here. And he said, no, I'm okay. I'll worry about that if it happens, but I won't be using the car that much. And they said, okay, that's not a problem either. It's entirely your choice. But what we will do now, when you pay us with your credit card, we are going to hold €2,000, €1,500, whatever it was, off your card until you bring the car back. So if there is any damage or if there is a collision, at least we have that money here. Yeah. But what they're playing on is that might be the spend money on the card for the holiday. And they know, oh, will I pay the extra €100 and free up the holiday money? Or will I...
Exactly.
And I think that's what they're at here. And that's pretty despicable if that's the case.
But no matter what you do, no matter what you rent, even if you've paid in advance, they will still... they will still take an extra deposit in the event that
you don't come back
or something happens or whatever. Yeah, it's extraordinary. So be prepared for that one, folks.
Okay, cover thine ass again. We always like a good news story. And Fionnuala was on a couple of weeks ago. You had a major problem with Unpulse, Fionnuala. Isn't that right, if I remember?
Yes, it did.
Yes, my daughter's DS game was left in a friend's DS and her mother posted it back. The letter arrived the following day and the letter was there and no DS and a big slit in the envelope.
Great.
No DS game. So she was terribly upset by that, and we went off and we filled out the form and we did everything as quick as we could down at the post office so that the trail could be sorted immediately. And basically Unpulse just stalled and stalled and stalled, and no matter how many times I phoned them or contacted them, they had some other reason why it would take as long as it did. And then they said it would be 9 weeks, and we waited the 9 weeks, and then they kind of said, well, what do you expect after 9 weeks? How could we possibly find it? And eventually I got on to a supervisor who told me to send in details of how much it would cost to replace. And still I heard nothing, and then I went back again, and then they told me that the case would have to be sorted and I'd hear from them in 2 weeks, and I heard nothing, so that's when I rang you. And then I sent on the details to Dermot, and he said he would contact on post, and within 3 or 4 days we had a check.
Wow. Because nine weeks is a lifetime to a young child.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it started in May, and we got the check on the 1st of October.
Oh, dear. But at least the check is there. Damage has been repaired to a degree.
Yeah.
I suppose it's a pity you took Dermot to go in and kick ass in that sense. But at least you're happy now, Fionnuala.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I just think a child has a very strong sense of justice and injustice. And she really felt that, you know, somebody had stolen her game and that that was wrong and it needed to be sorted out.
Good for her. Yeah, I can understand that too, because you're right. It's very important. And regardless of what happens, she's going to remember this. And I mean, I'll be honest, I had not asked for it, but I'm very, very disappointed that there was not some small goodwill gesture to her
for all of that.
Yeah, I'm not knocking on post. Thank you guys for getting it sorted so fast, but you needed to think a little bit further.
Like, you know, it sorted so fast when you got on, but when the consumer got on, they dragged it out for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and it's just, it sucks.
Of course it does.
As Bart Simpson used to say. All right, Fionnuala,
thank you very much. Thank you for your help.
Pleasure. Appreciate you coming back to let us know. Thank you indeed. Thanks indeed. I think we'll have to change this from Consumer King to Terminator. The Terminator is here. He will deal with your problems. But it's good when you get a little bit of feedback like that.
Oh, it's great.
Fair play to Fionnuala, and hopefully her daughter now is extremely happy that that wrong has been righted. Now, if you're listening to us at the moment here at Dublin's Q102 in Cocoonie, if you've experienced some shoddy workmanship, if you've bought something that didn't do what it said on the tin, if you bought something in a clothing store and it wasn't right, wasn't your size, or that somebody steered you into it, and you're not happy, and you need to know, can you redress the balance here? Feel free to give us a call. 01850-6597 is our number here. 850-6597. Or indeed, you can text us if you're a little bit shy and you don't want to come on air with us. 57102 for 20 cents with the mobile, Aircom's mobile phone service. And we have plenty of problems and issues that we can deal with across the evening. Give us a call now if you want. 01850-6597.
Call Cooley on 850-6597. On Dublin's Q102.
All right, Dermot Jewell is in studio with us this evening, as usual, on a Monday, here to answer your consumer queries. Number ways of doing it, obviously, you can call us 850-6597. It's an 01 number if you've got your mobile, or you can text us 57102 for 20 cents of the mobile, Aircom's mobile phone service. And Dermot will hopefully have some positive and good advice for you. Francis is here now. Francis, how are you? You well?
How's it going?
Good, good. You have a problem with UPC and their payment administration fee. Tell us about it.
I paid me bill last week, and a couple on that has on the end of it other charges. And then you have payment administration fee, $375.
And are you paying it through a post office or a bank, is it?
I pay it through the post office. Yeah. I have all the time.
I think we've had this before, Dermot, and it's not good news, unfortunately, Francis.
Yeah. I remember a few years ago they brought this in, but I think Dermot got onto them. For a load of people, all rang them in together, and they stopped it. Now it seems to be starting up again if you don't have a direct debit.
Yeah, you're entirely right, Francis. What happened was the association raised a bit of a fuss, and what they did was they said, okay, for those who are current contract holders, then we'll hold off on this, and it'll only apply to new contract holders, anybody taking a new contract with us. And then now they've completely turned the whole system around, and it doesn't matter who you are, if you do not pay by direct debit, you're going to pay this as you say, other charge, and it's quite a hefty charge. And if you pay monthly, then you're paying 12 of these. If you were to pay half yearly, then obviously you're only paying 2 of them. So it requires a good degree of thought, and it's very, very heavily penalising those who barely make ends meet and have no choice but wait till they get paid and pay this thing on a monthly basis. The company will put the argument forward, well, look, it saves us time and effort, and it tries to keep costs down, and most people should be able to take out direct debit. But the reality is that a number of people don't want to take out a direct debit.
Where does the administration come into play? I mean, if I go into the post office and I pay my bill and they take that $350 charge, and presumably the money goes into their bank account, where is the administrative fee, other than the cheque that it came in?
Well, absolutely. Well,
you know, what is this? You know,
what are we doing? We're all
get up,
I mean, it's like a baggage charge. It's just another charge.
Another way to milk you.
Yeah, absolutely. Whereas most companies will give you a discount, a further discount, if you pay by direct debit.
Yeah.
Not this particular approach, no.
Okay. There are other companies doing this as well, though, aren't there?
There are, in different ways, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, it's not that they're unique to this. It's just that I can't help but feel, and I'll take all the whacks that UPC want to give me, but if you think about it, guys, you're only one of two major players here.
Yeah.
And it's a bottom line, you take it. And it's a bit frustrating to have to deal on those terms, particularly from consumers who, I know this company has had different name changes over the period of time, but they've just stayed loyal and they've just stayed comfortable
so
with the
company. So why not reward some of that loyalty?
Now they're unhappy, and it's tough.
So what do you do, Francis? Do you walk away from them, or do you continue to pay it? Because if you don't pay it, obviously you've no TV.
Quite true.
Francis,
they have you every way.
They have. Will you consider trying to pay by direct debit on a monthly basis, or
that'll only keep them happy, then that'll only suit them at the end of the day, then.
Well, I know it's a good point, but that said, if you were to pay monthly, as I say, this is over €40 extra a year, which is far better in your pocket.
And you know what's gas there, but you have a 23% fat on top of that.
I know.
That's the old government
good old
there.
VAT.
That's
the old
Victor Arnold Turnbull. All right, Francis, sorry about that. Sorry we've no better news for you on that score.
Okay, thanks again.
Thanks very much for calling us. It's kind of, I know. It sucks, man, as Bart Simpson said earlier. Let's see if we can deal with Sally. Hi, Sally.
Hi, how you doing? Hi, Dermot.
Hello,
Hi,
Aidan.
Good evening to you too. Cleaning service for parents, and tell us what happened.
Yes, indeed. Basically, parents were away. They're quite elderly. We decided to have a really good job done on their home there about 2 weeks ago. And what I did was the company contacted me and asked me for a credit card guarantee. And I'm very reluctant normally to put, to give my credit card details to anybody over the phone. But they said, well, look, basically then we're not going to do the job. So then I thought about it and I thought, well, you know, I guarantee my hotel bookings and I guarantee lots of things by card. So I thought, well, you know, no harm done. I'll give them the card. And of course, then I said, look, I need your invoice, terms and conditions, quotations, etc., which I didn't receive. And then I get pinged, €250 gone off my card to this company, which apparently was a 50% deposit, which had not been explained to me upfront. All it was a guarantee. So, of course, you know, there was every excuse in the book was given, and then I said, well, it better be a very good cleaning job. And, of course, then they came out with the quotation and everything else, and they said, oh, well, it's actually going to cost €500.
What was the cleaning? Buckingham Palace?
Honestly.
Wow.
You know, it's a sizable house, but at the end of the day, I said, right, cost per person, that's fine. And then my sister went up, watched them. One person spent 4 hours in one bathroom. Another lady spent 3 hours cleaning windows, which I specifically told her not to do. I said, please don't clean the windows because that's dealt with. And I said, look, we're kind of unhappy with the clean. It's not entirely €500 worth. So please do not put the balance through in the credit card until we have time to dispute this and talk about it. Of course, ping. Money they tried to put the next payment through, but I actually cancelled the card very quickly.
Well done.
So I'm just waiting. I'm putting it in dispute with the bank just to see, you know, whether or not it goes through or not. But the problem is, I now don't have my card until next week. It's a big hassle. And I just want to know from you, is it actually legal to deduct money from... I mean, for me, it's akin to theft, nearly. I mean, they deducted money from my card without my permission 4 days before the job was done. And eventually, when I got the terms and conditions, they said you were entitled to cancel up to 3 days before the job was due to start.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, that's unbelievable. Yeah.
But it's just classic, isn't it? You know, I mean, you think you go out there looking for a decent service and you just get hammered.
So where do we go from here, Dermot?
Well, to answer your question, usually what happens is you're given a quotation and the terms and conditions are then agreed, which is, we'll give you a quotation, it's €500 and 50% of it is payable in advance. So you have the choice then and there to decide whether or not you want to take this out, Sally. And that makes logical sense to most people.
Correct.
This company are doing everything which makes... I'm not saying it's wrong, but it makes you very, very suspicious from the first moment that this happens, where you go, well, hang on a minute. You asked me for a number. You knew I was reticent to give it to you. And before we've even discussed anything further, you took a €250 chunk of money without us having agreed terms and conditions.
And prior to the three-day allowance of being able to actually cancel the job free of charge if I had wanted to.
Yes. So under those terms, you are quite within your rights to say, well, the normal procedure of contract was denied me. In other words, I was not able to enter into the normal trading conditions with you because all of the system worked in reverse. You took my deposit first, then you sent me the terms and conditions, and when I received those, I realised that it was too late to make any form of a cancellation. And therefore, I was locked in to having to accept, if you like, a €500 charge. And even then, when I tried to challenge that, having accepted those terms, you still went ahead and took it. Now, they could argue that, well, you did agree one way or another to pay the €500, and that's all we did. And if you had any problems, then all you have to do is notify us and we will discuss it with you. But I must be honest, because of the way you were treated before, I don't believe anybody in any court, in any room, in any jurisdiction would blame you for doing what you did. So I would just make the point to them that they treated you rather badly, that the way this entire contract was managed was quite unprofessional.
Yeah.
And that therefore all you have done is you've held back the last payment because you want it negotiated down fairly and reasonably, not away, but down. And you as a result, you were forced to come to take a rather drastic decision, which, as you say yourself, has hurt you to a great degree.
Absolutely.
But just watch that space and see what approach they take. I don't know if they're listening to this, but the reality should be, folks, is that you approach this cautiously because you approached it the wrong way around.
So if you want to go back and in your dealings with them, tell them you'll be back on with us. Now, we're not here next Monday, obviously, because it's the October Bank Holiday weekend, but we will be the first Monday in November. You're very welcome to come back and have a chat with us then also.
Absolutely. Well, I'll let you know how I got on.
Please
but
do.
Absolutely. The other thing was, in fact, they didn't send the terms and conditions, despite my asking them time after time, until after the job was done. So the job would have been done on the Monday. I got the terms and conditions the following Wednesday.
Not good enough.
Now, shocking, isn't it?
Just thing, Sally. I mean, you make the point that somebody spent, you know, quite a number of hours in the bathroom, another on Windows, which you had said we did not want done. So, you know, make notes of all these rather important elements, because what they may say is, well, look, we won't give you back money, but we'll come out and we really do the job well, or we'll do what was missing. So you have a decision to make at that point on whether that's what you want or not. So it's be prepared, I suppose, is what I'm saying. And do make a note to your credit card company that is why you cancelled the card.
Yes. Well, it's under dispute, and I don't think the money has come out of my credit card as yet.
Right.
So
okay.
I'm just waiting for the battle to start.
All right. Well, fingers crossed, and tell him he'll be back with us on Monday week, Sally.
Talk I will then. Indeed. Thanks
Best of
so
luck.
Much. Love your show.
Thank
Great.
You very much. You're very kind.
Thanks very much.
We're going
Cheers.
To do. Yes.
Bye-bye.
Give us a call if you've got an issue. 850-6597 is the number here. Or text me 57102 for 20. Send to the mobile. Aircom's mobile phone service.
Call Cooney. Have your say. Call 850-6597. Or text 57102 for 20 cents.
Dublin's Q102.
Monday night, all things consumer driven. And Dermot Jewell is with me in studio. And roaming fees are awful. And when you get caught, snookered, and you're unaware what's gone down, it's quite a shock when the money actually either goes out of your phone or in credit wise or your direct debit bill comes in and you see, oh my God. Tony, you had a similar problem, didn't you?
I had, Aidan, yeah. It was away in the Canaries, 2 weeks ago.
Okay, what happened?
I got a text from Vodafone, and from the network. Here's exactly what it said. Just for you, get 30 minutes to call any network in Ireland for 14 days for only €5. This is a special offer.
Sounds very attractive.
Beg your pardon?
It sounds like an attractive offer, yeah.
Oh, absolutely, and that's what I thought, at face value, that's what, that, you know, we could ring any network in Ireland for the next 14 days while it was away for only €5.
Wow.
And I went for it, you know.
Okay.
At the time, I had about roughly €35 credit already in the phone.
Okay.
So I sent off the text, and they obviously deducted a fiver, and I got a text back to say, pardon me, good call, you now have 30 minutes to ring anywhere in Ireland. I made a few phone calls home to the kids and that, and I didn't realise about what happened was all of the original credit that I had was eaten up, and I said, no problem, obviously I've used that, but now I have the 30 minutes to call anywhere in Ireland. And when I tried to do that, I was told I had no credit.
Oh dear.
And so he said text off balance to another number. I texted off and I said, you have no credit, but you have 30 minutes and 0 seconds.
And did they mean then that you could only use that in Ireland, that you can't use it abroad?
That's what I found out subsequently, but that's not what I thought at the time.
I know what you mean. It wasn't worded that way.
It certainly wasn't. All so, I said was, you know, to call any network in Ireland for 14 days.
So somebody,
bearing in mind, I'm away in Spain.
Yeah,
When I got this.
And you were thinking, this is great, this is perfect, this is just what I need.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that sounds like it's a bit ambiguous, the message that was sent out. Somebody maybe in marketing somewhere didn't think, oh, well, if there's people abroad, they won't look at it.
And especially when you put
I wouldn't even say ambiguous. I would say misleading.
Okay. Yeah.
And particularly when it says 14 days, you go, oh, great, they know where I am, or they're thinking of me. This is wonderful. Yeah, I know. Tony, have you followed up on this at all yet?
I did.
Of course you did.
Damon, the next day, the first day I got back, I went over to a shop in Donaghmede there and explained the case.
Right.
And the guys were very helpful there, but they put me onto a lad at a phone somewhere, and he said, no, you've misread that. That only applies in Ireland. I said, but no, it doesn't say that anywhere.
Right.
Only applies in Ireland. And the guy obviously wasn't listening to me, and I got fairly frustrated, and I said, look, I want to speak to your supervisor because I'm not happy with this. This seems like a rip-off.
Right, yes.
And what happened then?
What the guy told me was, the supervisor will only tell you what I've just told you. I said, I still want to speak to a supervisor. I want to know why.
Yeah.
This didn't specifically say, or didn't specify.
Do not use when roaming. That's all it needs to say. Yeah. If you're abroad, do not use.
It didn't say that.
Goodness.
I have it here in front of me.
That's annoying. So what do we do?
Well, what I would do is, and have you been in touch with Vodafone themselves directly?
We spoke to a supervisor there,
and that's as far as it went. Well, look,
you should have realised that, you know, roaming charges apply. I said, look, I'm not too au fait with this system. All I seen was an offer for 14 days while I was on holidays for only €5, and that's what I seen.
Right.
There was no ambiguity as far as I'm concerned.
Gotcha.
That offer applied while I was away overseas.
Have you been in touch with the regulator at all on this, Comreg?
Not yet, no.
I would suggest that you do, that you give them a call tomorrow. You can get the if you go, even if you go onto their website, if you have access, you'd be able to make a complaint to them through that. And in fairness to them, they will call you.
Right.
They're very positive like that. So if you go to comreg.ie and go through the system there, and you'll see where it's coming from, what's your, you know, as the consumer division, and make the complaint and explain to them what happened. Because it's an interesting one, and I'm kind of delighted you brought it up, Tony, because I can't help but feel that, you know, there's a lesson to be learned from this in how not to send out an advertisement or how not to declare an offer, because a number of people can seriously fall foul of it and be out of pocket. And that's what's happened to you. But most importantly, kind of key to all of this, will you come back and tell us how you get on? And because if you don't get it resolved, I'll take a bit of an interest, because it's too important. You're right to bring it up. This could happen to a number of people. And because it simply does not say not available in Ireland or does not apply in Ireland, you could lose a lot of money.
Of course. I know, you know, straight away you would have thought, you know, this offer does not apply outside of Ireland.
Absolutely.
And there would have been no ambiguity at all.
No, none at all. Right, this is no problem.
Okay. Well,
so try Comreg. Tell them what's happened. See what help they get for you from Vodafone. And if it doesn't work out, come back and tell us. But will you come back and tell us anyway what's happened?
Yeah, please.
We will, Damon. The reason why I actually brought this up to your attention is that I put it down to experience. I write it off as a bad experience. But I want other people to know that this is
fair play to you. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tony. You're a gent. We'll talk in a couple of weeks' time. Yeah, thanks, man. Indeed.
Bye-bye.
All right. And that's an interesting one. I wonder if anybody else has had that experience with their mobile service provider. And in some cases, it's an oversight, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I'm not blaming anybody here for this. It's just, but it's frustrating when you lose a load of money. You go, well, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
I was given an offer.
Very, very annoying.
It has terms and conditions that they didn't, one simple one that they didn't tell me.
All right. I know they were doing a great offer. Top up by €30 to get 100 international minutes and 250 megabytes internet plus your regular calls and texts free. By doing that €30 euro a month, but this is obviously from the other side of it.
Yeah.
Pay a fiver and we'll give you a 30 minute. It's rather whets your appetite as well for that. What have we got to do? A break, and then we're going to talk to Molly, who has a problem with a kitchen that she purchased recently. Text us if you've got an issue. 57102 for 20 cent of the mobile. There comes mobile phone service. Or call us 01850 6597. Here's the number again.
Call Cooney. Have your say. Call 850-6597.
Dublin's Q102.
All right, Joanne is here. And hi, Joanne, how are you? Are you well? Let's see. Hi, Joanne, are you there?
Yes,
ah, great, thanks. That's my fault, actually. Just wrong faderitis, as they say in the business. Tell us your story.
Well, I was actually just listening to that man. Is it Francis, is it?
Was, yeah, who had the problem with UPCs.
Yeah, and I just got the tail end about UPC. Now, UPC is the only company that I can use where I am in the country, and they just, it drove me mad about this €3.50 or whatever it was. Now, at the time, I could afford it, but I just felt it was very unfair for people maybe older people who didn't have bank accounts, etc., who didn't want to set up direct debits, etc. I know my dad will be one of those people. He hates direct debits. And I've always found it very unfair. And from time to time, I was actually onto the National Consumer Agency, and I knew that they were collating a lot of information there a couple of years ago about it, but nothing came out of it as far as I know. But I think Francis, he needs to be prepared to leave them. This is what happened to me. I basically rang them to say that I had to leave because I couldn't afford the service any longer. Things are really bad at the moment, and I've no bank account, and I can't actually afford this €3. I can't set up a direct debit because I don't have a bank account.
And what do they say to that then?
Well, I should say, first of all, I told them that I wanted to leave, and they put me through to a department. I had to explain why I wanted to leave. And the girl there, now, I have to say, she was very nice, and she listened. And I told her all of that, and she said, well, we have these smart cards of such and such a kind, you know, where you don't have to pay the direct debit.
Wow.
Once you produce that at the local shop or where have you.
Okay.
So I asked her, could you use it in the post office? And she said, no. I said, well, I'd like to keep the local post office open in my little
town.
Yeah,
by supporting it, yeah.
Yeah, I said, I'm very much want to pay my bills at the post office. So she then said that they'd reduced the monthly payments, and I think I'm paying €15 or something now. And I was on a basic one anyway, to be honest with you. I was only getting the basics.
Okay, and so the monthly cost for the package is €15 a month?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's no direct debit charge.
Isn't that brilliant?
Well, I don't know whether it's brilliant. I think it should be anyway, but I just want to...
No, I agree with you, but it's brilliant that you're letting Francis know is the point. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I think they're terrible that they're able to get away with that, and it was an awful shame that nothing could be done about it, but...
They'd find another way to take it out of your account, I think, wouldn't they? They'd find another bill.
Oh, absolutely.
They'd find another charge. Most companies...
Joanne, can I ask you a quick thing? The smart card, do they send out this card to you and you...
They do.
And you just top it up kind of thing?
Wow.
Yeah, well, I don't know how it works. I don't know how you top it up, but she basically said if you pay your bill on time, then you don't have to pay the direct debit. So I said, look, I don't want this card. And I was actually trying to leave them. I couldn't leave them.
Well, you did very well because the basic package is €25 plus.
Yeah, so say nothing.
I'm ringing them tomorrow.
Well done, Joanne.
Can I just ask another very...
Can I ask
a question?
Yeah.
And you may or may not be able to help me. I basically took out some money from an ATM there. It was actually €100, my last €100. I took it all out because I was afraid it was going to actually go to a direct debit. I didn't have any money for the following week.
Right.
And it wasn't actually until the next morning. All the money came out in 20s. One of the 20s was only half.
Oh, right.
And I actually went to the manager of the... It was actually in a garage. And I asked him about it, and he said, no, it was just the bank. It was Ulster Bank that actually filled it up, and I had to get onto my own bank. So I went down to my own bank today.